Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody for each and everybody in the different roles you have here at New Beginnings. Thank you, Chuck, for your faithfulness coming every Sunday early and helping set up and get all the sound equipment put together and greeting everybody. He's just a great guy. Thank you, too, Justin. Thank you for all your work, too, for getting those sound system specs and all that. That's a lot. It's a lot of work, a lot of thinking through. Yeah. Kathy, thanks for your prayer. That was powerful and helpful. Thank you. And each of you, each have your own role. Mary, thank you for getting us started right this morning. Appreciate your thoughts that you shared with us. Oh, thanks, Chuck. So we are working through the book of Luke, and the Gospel of Luke. A lot of red letters in this, in the Gospels, Jesus' words. So who would like to read Luke 9, 1 through 6? I have a microphone right here, ready to go.
You can put that down, I'll read it.
You'll read it? Okay.
When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Let's pray together. Spirit, Lord, we thank you for your presence here among us. You said where there be two or more gathered in your name, that you would be here in our midst. And so we know you're here. We're inviting you and we're asking you, I'm asking you, Lord, to move in our midst this morning. You already have, I believe. But even in this time, as we look into your word from Luke 9, you be the teacher. Open up our hearts to hear the truth in your word. Bring conviction where it's needed, encouragement where it's needed. Make us the kingdom men and women of God that you desire so we can bring honor and glory to Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Okay, as Dave read, Jesus had been teaching, he's been preaching, casting out demons, healing the sick. And now the time had come for his disciples to do exactly the same thing. Interesting, isn't it? Here in Luke 9:1, Jesus gives or he delegates to them both power and authority to use that power. And he says that he gave them authority and power over all demons and to cure diseases. Then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So what they were doing was actually extending and continuing Jesus' ministry. Today, we're all called, Christians are called to do that very same thing. That's right. New Beginnings vision statement, continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do. So we too, like those 12 disciples that Jesus just sent out here in this word, have been sent out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Listen to Mark 16, 15 to 20. It's called the Great Commission. And this is, I'll quote it. It says, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will take up serpents and scorpions, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord, working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. So as you can see from this passage here in Luke today, chapter 9, and from this passage I just read from Mark, that we are to be preaching or declaring the gospel of the kingdom. And as we do that, we should expect the Holy Spirit to accompany those words and to confirm the truth of those words by doing various supernatural signs, including deliverance from demons and physical healing. John 20:21, Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." Unfortunately, many churches and individuals today have forgotten, ignore, give little effort or time to proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Many are already too busy with family, work, entertainment, sports, hobbies, even church things. For those few who do declare the kingdom of God, even fewer still ask for, expect, or have faith for the accompanying supernatural signs. Clearly, Jesus expected his disciples both then and for us today to have both of those things. Unfortunately, many Christians today discount deliverance and healing ministries because they haven't personally experienced them. Is this you? Is it me? Listen, we cannot and we must not just preach or practice what we personally have experienced. We must declare and practice the Word of God. If the Bible says we are to do it, we need to be doing it. Period. The Lord has given us both authority and power to do it and is expecting us to do it. It's an expectation he has. We will never see anyone healed or delivered if you don't go for it. So we might look foolish if nothing happens. But what if it does? We can't control if someone gets healed or delivered any more than we control if someone comes to know Jesus and be saved. Yet we shouldn't stop witnessing for Christ because we rarely see people receive it and receive him. We need to keep doing it. We just need to be obedient to what the Word says and then be listening and sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." So we need to start asking for opportunities to share our faith in Christ and in his kingdom and to start believing for deliverance and healing to follow when we do share, if it's needed. So, you have pen and paper? I know Joanne always does. Write it down. This is what he's asking you to do. Ask for opportunities to share Christ and minister healing. Are you going to remember that? I have to write stuff down. If you notice what the Word says, it says we are to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. That may be strange to your ears. Praying for the sick is scriptural, yeah. It's in James 5:14-15. He says to do that. However, it's interesting, there is no mention of praying for the sick in the Gospels or the book of Acts. However, it is important. Why is it important? Because it shows that the followers of Jesus have authority over sickness and over the enemy. for deliverance, which many of us don't understand or realize we have. Too many don't walk in power because we don't believe we have it. The only qualification Jesus puts on healing the sick is to believe. Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe." So we just need to believe the word. Sounds easy, doesn't it? So the Holy Spirit is looking for individuals who are willing to take a risk and believe and then act upon the word. The Lord delights to show himself on the behalf of those people that step out and stick their necks out and take a risk for him, especially with people that don't know who he is and don't know his goodness and don't know his love. He loves to show himself strong in those instances. And I'll give you an example. I was, of course, I'm a retired art teacher from Hemfield High School. And when I was still teaching, there was this non-believer, her name was Tina, who I had in my painting class. She was not herself in class one particular day. So I asked her, "What's up?" And she said she had pain in her neck. Well, she was just getting ready to leave class, and I wasn't exactly sure what her problem was, but or what its cause might be. Our time was very limited, so I asked her if I could pray for her. She thought I meant like tonight when I go home or something. I meant right then and there. And she's like, "Oh, I guess, you know." And so I just said a simple prayer. I rebuked the pain in her neck, and I commanded it to leave in Jesus' name. I spoke wholeness into her neck and all the pain to leave in Jesus' name. And I said, "Have a good day." Two sentences, and off she went. She had to get going to class. And I had another class coming in. The next day, I asked her how she felt, and she sheepishly looked at me and said, "All the pain has gone." Praise God. You know, Janelle and Austin Horning were just here, sharing about their experiences in Tanzania. And they visited this old woman in the village. Remember that story they said? She didn't believe in Jesus, this woman, but she had some physical problems. And they prayed for her, and she was healed. And then she was willing to listen about who this Jesus was. Interesting, huh? It opens up doors. I could tell you many stories of these kinds of testimonies, but I have learned that there is power in proclaiming and declaring what Jesus has already provided through his shed blood and the stripes on his back. It says we are healed by whose stripes we were healed. It's something that he has provided already for us. Listen to this charisma writer. His name's Brett Ferris. He says, and I quote, "Don't pray for them, heal them." That sounds weird to us, I know. Power is in the name of Jesus. He says, too often our prayers can be encased in unbelief. If it be your will kind of prayers, or hopeful prayers, which are often feeble attempts at hoping something will happen and not really prayed in faith. But Jesus told us to heal the sick. We've been authorized by heaven. All we lack is boldness to act. And then he quotes Mark 16:20, "And they went forth to preach everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs, amen," end of quote. Yeah, don't pray for them, heal them. Whew. Interesting, huh? Paul reminds us that we're in a fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Remember that verse? You know, it's not a good fight unless you win. I believe too many of us have lost our fighting spirit and are losing the fight of faith. We get overwhelmed, we get discouraged, and we just lay down sometimes to the scheme of the enemy. Several months ago, Sean was speaking about the shepherd boy David. I don't know if you remember him talking about that or not. When all the professional soldiers were shaking and cowering before Goliath, David wasn't, and he became indignant. He became very angry. He said, "Who was this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" I mean, he was ticked off. This should not be happening. Like David, we need to grab a hold and become and have a holy anger burning within us and realize who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him. And so we have this power available to us. It's just not little old you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. I know you know that. We sing these songs. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us, lives in us. We sing it. And yet Monday comes and do we live it out? I'm guilty of this too. I'm preaching to myself here. He that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. All these things we're talking about, deliverance and healing, it's all part of the curse. And Jesus took the curse on himself so we don't have to put up with that. In the New Testament, preaching the gospel was always accompanied by healing the sick and casting out demons. Listen to what author and apostle Alan Vincent says, and I quote, "If you look carefully at every church recorded in the New Testament, was founded on signs, wonders, miracles, healings, and casting out of demons." He's saying every church that was founded was based on this. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and these signs went hand in hand. It is the ability to do these things that proves or gives evidence that the gospel of the kingdom has come. If we're not doing these things, we're not proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus desires. And Vincent goes on to say this, "The problem is not God's willingness to manifest accompanying signs through us. The problem is simply our unbelief." Ouch. We just don't realize Jesus will do what he said he will do. Western Christianity is loaded with terrible doubt and unbelief. It's supposed to be normal for signs and wonder to be taking place in our midst. End of quote. I read different books about different people that were used by God in great ways. One of them, his name's John Wimber. I don't know if you know who John Wimber is or not. He was the founder of the Vineyard Movement. He became a Christian as an adult by reading the New Testament. It's interesting, isn't it? He was just reading the Bible, the New Testament himself, and came to believe it. He had never gone to church. All he knew was what was written in the Bible. When he finally decided to go to a church service, he was expecting what it says in the Bible. Supernatural things, signs, wonders, deliverances, healing, miracles to be happening. But there was nothing. Week after week, there was nothing. He finally asked the leaders, "What's up?" And they said, "Well, God doesn't do that anymore." Ooh. Frustrated, he said, "I'm out of here." He started his own small group, which turned into a church, which turned into a movement. The Vineyard churches saw thousands upon thousands of people come to the Lord, and many set free from physical issues and problems and various healing of diseases. The blind saw, the deaf heard, all documented, all because he believed the Word of God and preached the kingdom of God, and expected these things to follow. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, 28. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." That's what he's telling these disciples. He says he gave them authority and to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And he's saying right here that when he casts out demons, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then Matthew 10, 7 and 8, he says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." When these things are happening, everyone will know that the kingdom of God has come. And if not, oftentimes it hasn't come. There is no better witness to the truth of the Word of God, no better argument to those who don't believe than when healings and deliverance and miracles occur that confirm this word to be true. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And in Romans 15:19, Paul says this about his ministry to the Gentiles. He says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. As Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom, signs and wonders accompanied and authenticated his words. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He just wasn't a bunch of talk. He was backing it up through what God would do through him and through him, through healings and deliverance. So why is this so important that we're proclaiming the gospel and healing and deliverance? Why is this so important to Jesus that this is being done? Well, because there are two kingdoms opposing one another. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness with Satan and the demons. These opposing kingdoms are at war. Of course, we know that Satan has been defeated. Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the grave has defeated Satan. Yet, it's just like when the Germans were defeated, there were still pockets of resistance. They were basically, the war was lost. That's what's happening today. And we're called to tell the good news of the king and his kingdom that has come and to set people free. So that's part of our responsibility. It's not Jesus anymore, it's ours. He's given it to us. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. We see that. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. 1 John 3:8, it says, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he wants us doing. So when we proclaim that Jesus is king and has come and are used in deliverance and healing ministries, we too are destroying the works of the enemy and are continuing his ministry as he once done. And as we know, this is also it's Luke 4:18, but it's also in our under the vision statement for new beginnings. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty all who are oppressed. So here in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, which we're looking at, in verse 2, Jesus told them to go preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sends them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. To preach simply means to just proclaim it, to tell others, in the sense of announcing it, the good news to other people that we see. And as we proclaim this, we're to demonstrate what that kingdom is like in the character of the king that represents. In the simplest terms, the kingdom of God is simply the rule of God. So it can be said that wherever Jesus Christ, the Lord, reigns, there we have the kingdom of God. Because in Luke 17:21, Jesus says, "For indeed the kingdom of God is within you." So when we receive Jesus as King and Savior and Lord and are obedient to him and cooperate with his Holy Spirit, then wherever we go, the kingdom goes. So you want the kingdom of God to go somewhere? Go there. This is true whether Jesus rules in an individual or over a group of people like a congregation here at New Beginnings. Also, the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. That's why Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. So, Jesus also said in John 14, 12, most assuredly, he's trying to get us to listen, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these, because I go to my Father. So, Jesus is commanding you and me to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. By and large, we're just not doing it. I'm not sure what it will take for the mainstream church in America to get this revelation about the kingdom and accompanying signs that Jesus wants of both deliverance and healing. But I can't escape it. The Lord has put this on my heart for many, many years. He's burned it on my heart, and I cannot stop speaking it until I start seeing more and more of this happening. And he wants us to be doing it. Just yesterday, I went to my neighbor man, who is diagnosed with cancer again, and I went. And I prayed over him and rebuked the cancer in his body in the name of Jesus, commanding it to leave. And I'm believing full well that he's going to recover. And that's what we're to do. I was obedient to what he was asking me to do. I believe this is one of the reasons God planted New Beginnings and why we are called New Beginnings. Because he wants a new beginning in his church. He doesn't want us to be weak and inept. He wants us to be walking in the power of the Spirit and accomplishing these things for his kingdom and for his name and for his glory. It's not for Mike's glory, it's for his glory. I can't heal him. I told the guy last night, I can't heal you, but Jesus already has made provisions for it. Just like he made, this was a Christian I was talking to. I said, he made provisions for your sin by shedding his blood on the cross, and he made provisions for your healing by the stripes on his back. It says so in his word. And I said, I believe they are your inheritance. And I prayed it over him. So, yes, I believe we're to be a new beginning also in the Church of the Brethren. So, for this to happen, though, I think some of us need to relearn things or undo wrong things we've believed for years, or so that these things will actually come to pass in Jesus' name. There's no amount of good preaching or teaching is going to make the difference. I can't change anybody. My words can't. It's the Holy Spirit. I've been praying, Holy Spirit, come. Keep changing me. Keep changing us. He's the only one that can bring conviction to your life and bring revelation that this is really something I'm supposed to be doing. I can't do it. But once we receive this revelation and start to walk in the inheritance that God desires us to walk in our delegated authority, look out, devil. Listen to what Tony Evans, I love Tony Evans. I don't know if you know him, an African-American preacher and writer. In his book, Kingdom Man, he says this, and I'm going to quote, "When a kingdom man's feet hits the floor each morning, the devil will say, oh crap, he's up again." I love that. "Also, when he steps out the door each day, heaven, earth, and hell will take notice. A kingdom man will zero in on one purpose only, advancing the kingdom of God and bringing glory to the king, no matter the personal cost." End quote. I love it. So do you want to be a kingdom man or a kingdom woman? Ask him. Invite him to make you into that. Allow him to make the changes that need to be made in your life. Different motivations, different actions, different thinking. Or we could all go home, eat lunch, watch the NFL playoffs, and do the same old, same old. It's our choice. He's not going to force us. We need to invite him to do this. As the disciples in chapter 9 discovered, they went out. They persuasively and boldly presented the message of the kingdom. And if their listeners didn't receive it, they were to leave or shake the dust off their feet as they left, meaning they carry no responsibility for what they've shared with these people. And Luke 9:6 says this, "So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." I love it. They were doing it. They were doing it. Is there any less need today? No, it's still great need out there. So, what is keeping you and I from doing what Jesus is asking us to do? Whatever it is needs to change. Where there's doubts and unbelief, we need to get back into this word, read it, renew our faith, because faith comes by hearing and by hearing through the word. We need to get an infusion of faith. If you're clueless about how to be used in bringing healing in someone's life, you need to learn. You need to educate yourself. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anybody that did any of this kind of stuff. I thought, well, by golly, he wants me to do this. I better start learning, right? On that table back there are all these books. Some of those books I've read 3 and 4 times. I don't even have them all here. They are there for you to borrow and then return, because I'd like them back eventually. You know, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to pick one up, take it with you. If not, okay. But you're going to have to somehow get some training in this to learn how to do it, because he wants us to do it. And really, it's not that hard. If your priorities are mixed up, allow the Holy Spirit's conviction to rearrange your life and your motivations and maybe your activities. Maybe you're like me. Sometimes I just simply lack compassion for people. Lack compassion for the lost or the hurting around us. There are so many hurting people. They're just everywhere. It just becomes so easy to be desensitized and calloused to all their needs. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to scrape away the calluses off our hearts and spend time with him to get to know his still small voice. He's so ready and willing to show us. And then when those times come to minister to somebody, you'll know it. He's not going to ask you to minister to everybody you see. I mean, there's so many people that need healing and prayer and deliverance. But there'll be certain people that he'll give you that little nudge. Now's the time. This person right here. That's when we need to go and minister. Lastly, in verse 10, the disciples returned and they told Jesus everything they had done. I bet that was fun for Jesus to listen to their testimonies about all that had happened. And he took them aside to this deserted place in Bethsaida, and he took them to privately debrief them and instruct them. It's interesting, though, in verses 1 and 2, they were called disciples, which means learners. When they came back in verse 10 after their preaching and healing mission, they were called apostles, meaning those sent with authority and a message. Ooh, I like that. They remained disciples, of course, but they both knew the message and the authority in a much better way than ever before. So, in closing now this morning, I want to leave you with an excerpt from Alan Vincent's book, and there's 2 copies of that back there, one mine and one that's free to keep without my name in it. All my books with mine have my name in it, but at any rate, there's one back there. It's called Heaven on Earth, Releasing the Power of the Kingdom Through You. Listen to that title again. Heaven on Earth, Releasing the Power of the Kingdom Through You. And this is what Alan Vincent says. Our primary job on earth is to work together with the Holy Spirit to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. We must see the kingdom, believe in the kingdom, preach the kingdom, and forcefully advance the kingdom of God. Then you will see the glory of God come into your city or town. He says it only takes a few people to get the revelation of the kingdom and that are truly empowered with the Holy Spirit to do a great work. Amen. And that great work is awaiting for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's truth. But Lord, this is a hard word this morning. But it's what you're asking us to do. You're asking us to be kingdom men and women of faith, that go out and proclaim that we have a king, and this king's name is Jesus, and he is almighty and all-powerful. And I'm his representative here on earth, and he's delegated to me power and authority. What is your need? I can help you in his name. Oh, Father, help us tune in to you through your Spirit, where you're wanting to move, where you're wanting to touch people, where you're wanting to set people free, drawing them to yourself, that you be made famous. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus, for your word, for your goodness, and for your patience with us as we learn to be your kingdom people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with a song, which I asked Justin to put together for us. It's Wren Collective. You can sing along with it. I hope you do. It's one you know. It's a powerful song.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released. The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom.
Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and